I am here to present, I'm an assistant professor over at Emory University, Division of General Medicine, and I'm here to present on, I'm trying to live a real total life, Black MSM negotiating HIV testing practices amidst conflicting social contexts. I have absolutely nothing to disclose, personal or professional. The background, as a lot of us know, there are high HIV rates in the United States among Black MSM. Late HIV testing practices may be playing a role in the racial disparity among Black MSM that we're seeing nowadays. With late testing, not being able to go into treatment, higher viral loads, it seems that that may be perpetuating some of the epidemic. The test and treat initiatives seem to be predominating our public health approach to HIV today, and few studies really have qualitatively explored the social context of HIV testing among Black MSM. So the objectives of this research were twofold. One, to describe the HIV testing experiences among Black MSM, and then two, to explore facilitators to HIV testing among Black MSM. I chose facilitators instead of barriers. I think we talk about barriers entirely too much, and so just trying to get a sense of what gets people to the door and what helps them get tested, I thought was a better objective to go with. The methods, this study was funded through the Minority AIDS Research Initiative, or MARI. That is an initiative that was started by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. We did the study actually in 2005, 2006, recruited through the internet, street intercept, community venues. For those of you that are familiar with Atlanta during Martin Luther King weekend, it's almost like our second Black Gay Pride. So we actually recruited a lot of our participants then and also referred people through snowball sampling. Eligibility criteria, 18 years or older, identify as a Black man, have sex with another man in the past 6 months. That could be oral, anal, and then also be an Atlanta resident, HIV negative or unknown status. We conducted 30 semi-structured interviews, again between 2005 and 2006. And the analysis, we used the constant comparative method as well as having two independent co-owners verify the themes. So just a quick slide about the demographics of who this group of people you know, what they look like. The mean age was 29.3, and about half and half were between 18 to 29 years old, the other half between 30 and 45. Sexual identification, about 80% identified as homosexual, gay, or SGL. 5 out of the 30 identified as bisexual, and 1 out of the 30 identified as heterosexual. And just remember that everyone had to admit to having sex by a man, so you can see that discrepancy still there. 77% were employed, and 15 of 23 of these men who were employed made over $30,000 a year, so a fairly decent salary there. 93% had over a high school education. Actually, interestingly enough, once we got men in the interview, 14 or 4 out of the 30 reported being HIV positive during the interview, but when we screened them had said they were HIV negative. And all the remaining 26 who reported being HIV negative and unknown and confirmed that during the interview reported HIV testing in the past year, which was typically, for the most part, in a doctor's office or a public clinic, and then also CBOs, schools, churches, or others for the remainder 35%. So when we looked at some of the themes that were coming up when we talked about HIV testing, the three major things that came up were conflicting contexts of testing locations between the doctor's offices, public clinics, and community-based organizations. We also talked about testing facilitators, routine care being one of the main things that came up. Also, being identifying as gay or seeing yourself as gay, knowing that you're in a quote-unquote risk group. And then also engaging in risky behavior was a facilitator we noticed. And then peers and partners were influential. And then I'm going to talk a little bit also about how HIV testing, the experience itself, was described by a lot of the men as a traumatic experience. So when we look at the conflicting context, I call it docs, clinics, and CBOs. It's almost like lions and tigers and bears. One gentleman, Bruce, said, when you go to the doctor, there's a complete sense of anonymity. Nobody knows why you're going to see the doctor. Community places, they seem so seedy. They just seem a little seedy. Jeff, who was 29 years old, said, being that I've been tested before in my doctor's office, I expected that to be a process. At one point, I did inquire as to why they didn't do any type of pre-testing, and they pretty much said because they're at a doctor's office and they really don't have the time. And this theme came up a lot, that they didn't quite have the time in the doctor's office to do the full pre-testing and the counseling that we're used to. Another gentleman told us that he thought that AIDS organizations are like the best place to get tested because everybody is like so educated about the disease and how it works. And that theme came across a lot of the times. The CBOs seemed to be more knowledgeable, although the doctor's offices seemed to offer a place of where it was a little bit more anonymous. One of the other things that came up with these conflicting contexts, and a lot of the guys were all over the map. There wasn't one story, or they didn't tell one venue that was perfect, there were always back and forth about each, pros and cons of both, was the whole issue of discretion, confidentiality, and stigma. Tim mentioned that I chose the health department because I didn't want to give my real name, and although I had insurance through my job, for some weird reason, I didn't want any. I was thinking my job would find out I was HIV positive. So again, the stigma of not being able to do that, so therefore he went to the health department to get his testing instead. Carlos mentioned it was worse, referring to the HIV testing, there, meaning at the doctor's office. I think it's easier when you go anonymous because nobody knows you. When somebody knows you, I think you have a bigger fear that, you know, oh God, somebody's gonna know. And again, that kind of whole notion came forth about the doctor, and in a doctor's office, they're gonna know you, it's a little more personal. You may have a little bit more sense of confidentiality or anonymity at a public clinic or a CBO. Interesting thing came up about testing venues, regardless of whether it was a clinic, doctor's office, or a CBO, was the whole notion of having support. And the CBOs kind of really stretched to the front as far as this content. In a CBO setting, I think it's a lot easier because you have the whole 20 minutes, and you have your results saying, you have people that are around, you can talk to, like, I just got tested and I'm not worried or whatever, whatever, whatever. And these people can console you if the answer is not the answer you wanted. So some of the gentlemen actually mentioned that in a CBO setting, you have a lot of people going there for the same exact thing. And so that benefit of the doctor's office, nobody knowing what you're there for, actually can be somewhat of a detracting influence when you're going to a CBO, because in that case, you may be able to get some support, as he states in this case, in case the answer wasn't something that you wanted. How we describe this was more like a double-edged sword of testing venues. And this was a quote from a gentleman talking about how he got tested in his doctor's office. He said, at my medical facility, my doctor is gay and knows me and knows my lover, and it feels like a more intimate thing. Whereas at a clinic or a facility outside of that, or an agency, it's more anonymous, and that we're both being more careful about it because we don't know each other. And then he paused and said, actually, I get more information when folks don't know me. Yeah, because my doctor knows me and knows too much about my work history, so he doesn't go through a whole lot of spiel when I'm testing. So again, you can see kind of the back and forth. There's the pro of being the doctor, the more intimate setting, this person knows you well, but then there's the con that maybe they're not doing the testing or the screening quite as well because they know you closer, so they're not going to go through all that the way someone who wouldn't know you would actually go through that if they've been trained correctly. When we asked the guys about testing facilitators, they talked about the two main things that came up the most often were getting HIV testing as a routine part of care, or awareness of risky behavior. So Dwayne said, I've grown to realize that because I'm trying to live a real total life, like even my annual checkups is for everything, high blood pressure, diabetes, HIV, I mean, it's all just wrapped up into one. So I don't single out and just go get an HIV test or just go get high blood pressure tested. It's because I'm living a total thing. We asked another gentleman, said, what was the reason why you got tested? Or was there a reason you got tested? He said, yes, because I needed to, and I want to stay knowledgeable about my status, and I think that was after an unsafe encounter. So there were a few things that were going on, but predominantly for most of the guys, it was either part of a routine care, or I did something unsafe, I knew it was unsafe, that's why I went ahead and got tested. One of the detractors about this whole thing, and we were happy to see that a lot of the men in the study that we saw actually were getting tested in the past year. All of the 26 who reported being HIV negative or unknown had reported being testing in the past year. And so we thought at a certain point that meant that the social marketing campaigns targeting black MSM was really working because people were actually seeing themselves at risk. On the flip side of that, you have this kind of hypervigilance where you can have a situation where everything you get a scratch on your nose, you get a rash on your arm, everything's going to be HIV because now black MSM equals HIV. So this gentleman said, I was just really, really promiscuous when I first got here, meaning Atlanta, and just a lot of things going on. I felt something was going on in my body, and it really wasn't, it was something else. I was allergic to my aunt's dog, and so I started getting these spots on my body. I didn't know what it was, so that's what made me get tested. So it's interesting here, and a lot of guys would actually say, when anything came up, if I had a fever, if I had a sniffy, I had the sniffles, I had a cold, I had a rash, it's automatically going to be HIV. Sometimes related to unsafe behavior, sometimes just because of who we are. I put these two in yellow. These were two things that came up a lot less often. We actually asked the guys, do you think because you're black, you get tested more often? Or do you think because you're gay or you're homosexual that you get tested more often? And really, the guys didn't say that either one of those social identities got them to get tested more often. But if we were to pull out one more than the other, it was much more being gay than being black was a risk factor. So they saw being an active homosexual as more of a risk facilitator that would get them to the HIV testing facilities. And then also of note, peers and partners also described an influence. They would say, my sexual partner says he requires that I get tested every year, or my friends always get tested, which echoes some of John Peterson's work, some other literature that's out there in the public health field. It talks about if you have peer norms that either use condoms, how many minutes? 5 minutes. If you have peer norms, either using condoms or HIV testing practices, the people you hang around with are going to be the ones who kind of influence your behaviors as well. And then finally, one of the things we came up with was HIV as a traumatic event, the testing itself. Edward said it was nerve-wracking. To be honest, I think I'd rather have dealt with it that way, meaning in a public clinic, because I didn't have to necessarily see anybody. If I did know I was positive, I could then go and search out a doctor or something like that and have to go back and see anybody. I was fine with it that way. It was kind of nerve-wracking, but you know, I was fine. So it's interesting, he says nerve-wracking and how bad it was, but then he said he was fine at the end of the day. So there's kind of like this pushback, like, it was nerve-wracking, but I'm okay, I'm good. And then this gentleman, Harold, actually said, because engaging, the whole cycle of engaging in unprotected sex and then getting worried, going to get tested, and that cycle that keeps going around, if you test negative, then you say, oh, I'm okay, going back and having unprotected sex again, then getting worried again and going back and get tested. He described it as comparable to in Russian roulette. You can only shoot the gun so many times at your head before it fires and you blow your brains out, which I thought was a very interesting analogy to say as far as unsafe sex, getting HIV tested, and the possibility of coming up HIV positive. At the end of the day, regardless of these different venues, the conflicting context, the double sword that we talked about, the bottom line, I think Stephen summed up probably the best way. He talked about being at CBO and said the administrator, he was very professional and created an open and warm environment to have such a serious test done. And I think that was important. He was very knowledgeable and he created an excellent environment for that kind of test to take place. So regardless, it seemed to be that human interaction, that closeness, whether it be your personal physician or someone that was well-trained, that knew what to say and was qualified to make you feel comfortable, that would facilitate a more comfortable testing experience. We asked another gentleman, we said, would you refer or would you recommend that people get tested at the doctor's office or the clinic? And Carlos said either, really, just as long as they get tested, which I think sums it up nicely. So in summary, for this sample of black MSM in Atlanta that we recruited, HIV testing was common in the year prior to the interviews that we did in 2006. What we also noted was that the phase two sample of this study, where we actually did surveys with about 450 men, 72% had reported that they had been tested in the past year, which is contrary to what some people will say in the literature and the media, saying that black MSM aren't getting tested that much. The double-edged sword of testing venues, environment, kind of swirled around issues of confidentiality, trust, comfort, and knowledge by the person who's administering the test. Testing facilitators, like I said, that we found with this sample were sexual risk behavior specifically and routine checkups. And then I want to also emphasize how important it was for the men here that we create an open environment, create a very warm, comfortable environment in which to get HIV tested. And so regardless of whether it's a public clinic, a CBO, or a private doctor's office, that part of it is extremely important from the perspective of the men we interviewed. And then I just want to remind people about the trauma of getting HIV tested. And for those of you that have gone through it, whether you've tested negative or positive, the fear in that time, whether it's a 20-minute test or a two-week wait, remember that feeling. And if you're working in the field, whether it's a doctor's office or public health or a CBO, think about that every time you test and train somebody, because these guys were very, very clear about how traumatic and scary that was every time they go in. And sometimes it would detract them from even getting tested. And then also the whole association of black MSM with HIV. So automatically, if I have anything physically wrong with me, and I think I need to go to a doctor's office, I'm not thinking of some other disease. I'm not thinking allergies, I'm not thinking the flu. I'm automatically thinking HIV because all the media says is black MSM equals HIV. And then last but not least, in this whole biomedical driven environment of test and treat, test and treat, test and treat, testing facilitators is not just an access issue, it's a quality issue as well. So I want to emphasize that to you guys from the voices of the men that we interviewed. Limitations of the study, small sample, we can't really generalize volunteer bias, potentially social desirable responses, and we did purpose of convenience sampling, so you can't really generalize. Last slide, future directions for HIV testing for black MSM. I mentioned or emphasized continued responsible social marketing toward black MSM. I think that it does work and it gets through because people are getting tested more often. I use the word responsible because responsible does not mean an ad where you put kind of a rifle thing and then like a bullet going through and say, have you been shot or are you targeted or whatever that social marketing campaign was, I think it kind of elicits some fear. In addition, it may actually go against people getting tested. We have to do quantitative testing of the contextual variables. I'm working on a paper with Madeline Sutton and a few people over the CDC to publish on the relationship between some of these variables. Also improve sexual history taking and personal relation skills of medical personnel. I can't emphasize that enough. I'll leave that as is. And then continue varied and quality HIV testing venues. The one thing that we came home with at the end of the study was that there was no one venue that was perfect. So there wasn't a one-stop shop, except there wasn't a Walmart that everything was perfect in it. Did I just say that Walmart was perfect? So what I'm saying is that it has to fit the individual's level of comfort, because some individuals may feel more comfortable with their doctor for various reasons. Some may feel better at the CBOs. Some may feel better at public clinics. We have to have those options available to all people, not just Black MSM. And then we need more work to improve general healthcare utilization among Black MSM. It did not surprise me that the men were talking about routine care was stimulating HIV testing. And so if we get men in to get routine care, blood pressure, cholesterol screening, even if they're 25 and they only need to be seen once a year, weaving HIV underneath that umbrella I think is going to be a good approach rather than starting with HIV first and working backwards. It'll destigmatize HIV testing and it'll lend emphasis on overall health engagement for all ages of Black men. I'd like to acknowledge the MARI program and the CDC, Byron Mason, who was my co-analyst with the data, Lisa Fitzpatrick, Greg Millett, Madeline Sutton, Greg Amos, Anthony Williams, Tashin Jackson, Fionn Young, and our wonderful community advisory board. Thank you very much.